Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. It is good to be back at the microphone hosting this podcast. I have been recovering from surgery that removed a malignant tumor from my small intestine, and I am happy to report that things are going well in that recovery, and I'm very happy to be back. Today we get a complete episode of The Old Gold Show, starring Don Ameche, Francis Langford, and Frank Morgan. The Bickerson sketch in this show is entitled The Bachelor Party. It originally aired on May 21st, 1948.
Ladies and gentlemen, speaking for the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes, who are pleased to present the 35th in a series of new programs with Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's lovable Frank Morgan, the genial Don Ameche, and charming Francis Langford. When we ask you to smoke Old Golds, we do not offer any Now, here is your host for the evening, Don Ameche. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening.
Hey, Don, did you see this item about Frank Morgan?
No, where, Carmen?
Right here in the front page of the Valley Times.
Where? Where?
Right here where I got my finger.
Starting with today's edition, a new column called Yacking Around by Carmen Dragon. Now, what are you trying to do, Carmen?
Well, that's the wrong item. But as long as you started it, finish it.
No. I won't read any of your yockers.
Okay, I will. A spinster owl married a bachelor billy goat, and they're expecting a little hoot nanny in the spring. Like it?
Hate it. Where's this item about Morgan?
The bottom of the page.
Oh, yeah. Radio and screen star Frank Morgan was hailed into San Fernando traffic court yesterday and charged with speeding, one-armed driving, driving without lights, parking in a loading zone, and loading in a parking zone. Doesn't say what happened to Frank.
Oh, I saw what happened.
Well, you saw it?
Yeah. The courtroom is only a block away from where I live, and I always drop in there to see if I can't pick up a few original yockers.
Never mind that. What about Morgan?
Oh, well, I saw two motorcycle policemen and Frank in front of the judge. As I remember it, Morgan looked kind of worried.
Frank Morgan, guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty, Your Honor, with an explanation. I had just pulled up to the curb when I was accosted by two of your overzealous constables for some reason.
Drunk, I suppose.
Both of them, Your Honor. It was terribly embarrassing. Inasmuch as I was driving this young lady, my niece.
Your niece?
My niece, yes. I was driving her back to school, and I...
School? At yes. 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, well, she goes to night school.
Now, tell the court, Mr. Morgan, why were you speeding?
Court speeding. Yes, well, I have too much iron in my blood, and my foot hangs heavy on the gas pedal.
Oh, come. You can figure something better than that.
I know I can. I just haven't had time, that's all. How about this? I was seeking to brush a fly from the young lady's ankle when my clutch slipped.
That's enough! I find you guilty and fine you $50. Pay the cashier.
Well, wait a minute, Your Honor. I can explain everything. I give you my money.
And that's exactly what happened to Frank, Don.
Well, did he pay the fine?
Well, I don't know. I took a powder. I was afraid he was going to touch me for the dough.
Maybe they threw him in the tank. I'm going to call his house. Carmen, you have the orchestra play something.
Okay, anything special?
No, you know what I like. A fast, short number with plenty of brass and a lot of bounce.
That's what I I like, and the faster she is, the better I like her.
Right.
How about introducing me to
whom?
Well, the brassy little number with the big bounce, Sergeant.
Frank,
nobody's talking about women. We're discussing music.
Oh, cussing women. Nobody's talking. Well, I might as well
wait
be running along.
Morgan.
What?
There's an item in this paper that might interest you.
Really? Let me see. Frank Morgan, San Fernando speeding, one arm loading. Yes. Most unfortunate incident, Dodger.
I'll bet.
The judge was going to fine me heavily, and I didn't have a penny with me. My companion had $50 concealed in her corset, but she refused to give it to me.
What did you do?
Well, I pulled a few strings. Finally, I was let out.
And what about the girl?
She was let out, too. Way out. Out of the speeding charge once he was informed that I was an automobile designer testing out a new model.
What was the model's name?
Genevieve Smith. I picked her up.
Oh!
The automobile.
Yes.
Well, it's the new Morgan collapsible safety model.
Collapsible safety model?
Yes, with a radar attachment. Every time a woman driver approaches, the whole car folds into the glove compartment.
Fantastic. It's the one that judged and put you away for life. How did you ever convince him you were a car designer?
No convincing was necessary, my boy. As soon as I put on my crash helmet, he recognized me instantly as Bullets Morgan.
Bullets Morgan? Yes,
the leading contender in this year's Indianapolis Speedway.
What are you talking about?
Wrong thing?
Yes, it's the wrong thing.
Oh.
You couldn't drive a hopped-up tailor tot in a 10-foot circle if it was attached to a merry-go-round.
No, see, Sergeant.
I don't want to intrude, Don, but as an expert mechanic, I must defend Mr. Morgan.
Well, what a timely interruption. It's that fat young grease monkey from Lard Bucket's garage. Pull up some lard and rest your fat grease monkey.
Frank, he isn't fat. He's barrel-chested.
Yes, but look where the barrel is.
Mr. Morgan, I don't want to annoy you.
Well, you do, you know.
I'm sorry, but I overheard you discussing the Indianapolis Speedway. I'm designing a new car myself, and I'd like your advice.
Yeah, well, I can't.
After 6 months of bending over my drawing board, I finally developed a 300-pound chassis with a telescoping rumble seat and several large shock absorbers on my bumper.
Well, if you wear a big license plate, nobody will notice it.
Marvin Morgan doesn't know anything about racing automobiles.
Puppycock, the Morgans have been racing for generations, beginning with my grandfather, Universal Joint Morgan, down to my uncle Horsepower and my aunt Hot Rod.
Your aunt Hot Rod.
Sloppy old jalopy. Always stripped her gears when she was clutched.
What a wonderful family.
It was my Uncle Horsepower who first introduced the use of rockets into auto racing.
Oh.
He further pioneered the field of streamlining by removing the engine from his old car and using a new type body.
Which body?
His own. In 1887, on the eve of the big race at Boneville, Utah, my uncle lashed himself to a steel chassis, stuck an exhaust pipe up his duster, and lined up for the start. Waited for the starting signal and carefully checked the 9 powerful rockets he had inserted in his hip pocket.
Rockets in his pocket?
Yeah, sort of power plants in his pants. At any rate, the signal was given and my uncle reached back and ignited the rocket.
What happened?
There was a tremendous explosion. The race was over and my uncle won by a nose.
By a nose?
Yes, they never could find the rest of them. Collected the purse and spent the rest of her days collecting my uncle. With such a heritage, I naturally gravitated to auto racing.
Oh, naturally.
I was raised amidst the smell of oil and the roar of motors.
And from the time I was five, I was schooled as a mechanic.
A mechanic.
I'll never forget how the crowd would stare as I crawled under an automobile, my tiny hands clutching a heavy wrench. Wrench! The love of racing was still in my blood, and I was horrified when my parents insisted that I work in a bank as an assistant cashier.
That's risky.
For a whole year, I slaved there, trying to earn enough money to build my own racer. Finally, my bank showed a balance of $11,000, and I took
in
out...
1 year?
Well, I scrimped a little, I saved a little,
but
I...
$11,000?
Well, I stole a little, too. I was desperate to build my own car, and it wasn't until the winter of 1918 that I was ready to test my masterpiece.
Here we go.
Under cover of darkness, I towed the huge machine out of the salt flat.
Yeah.
And as the dawn broke, I adjusted my helmet, and on the very first run, I tore down the sandy strip at 400 miles an hour.
You raced along at 400 miles an hour?
I could have gone faster if I hadn't forgotten to take the car with me.
Oh, you need that.
Yes. Yeah. I tore back again, jumped in the car, turned on the ignition. There was a terrible roar, and my car fell apart. I took it back to Honest John.
Honest John?
Yes, but I didn't want to wake her up. She was sleeping.
Wait a minute.
What?
She?
Yes, Dodger. I was the only race driver in the world with a female mechanic.
That would be you.
She was a lovely girl, but she had to retire from the game after we had an accident on the hairpin turn at the Indianapolis Speedway.
Well, didn't you hug the curb?
What do you think caused the accident?
What's this about the Indianapolis Speedway? You mean you've already raced in that classic?
I have, sir. It was in 1919, and I was piloting a hamburger special for a drive-in magnet.
That makes sense.
There were 19 other cars in the race. I, as a novice, was given little chance for the expert.
You'll win. I know you will.
Well, I'll do my best. And the star had dropped his checkered flag, I pressed my accelerator to the floorboard and whizzed away. In less than 20 minutes, I had lapped the field.
Give her the gun, Mr. Morgan.
Oh, shut up. It looked too easy. 40 miles from the finish, I was 8 laps ahead of my nearest rival. When suddenly my motor began to sputter and I felt my speed diminish.
Oh, no.
Yes. There was a friction against my wheels which was caused by two worn-out capstans.
Two worn-out capstans? What's that?
A broken-down pair of jacks.
I got three stinking queens.
You win. I haven't won a pot. Oh, why don't we go?
Don, what did you do when your car slowed down, Mr. Morgan?
Without a moment's hesitation, I slid into the skid, shot into the pit, scrapped the shaft, cut out the shift, and slipped out of the shed. I think my valves need grinding.
I suppose you finally won the race, Morgan.
Not yet, my boy, but bad luck still dogged me. In the final laps, my cylinders clogged, a bearing burned out, and the other drivers began to close in on me.
I hope you won't run out of gas.
No chance of that.
Go ahead, Morgan.
100 yards from the finish line, still in the lead, misfortune struck again.
What happened?
I went on a high on a turn, a bushing came loose, and my right front wheel disengaged itself and flew off the track.
Oh, my.
Quick as a flash, I nailed down the throttle, locked the steering gear in place, flew over the cowl, and made a grab at the whirling axle. I had transformed myself into a human wheel.
A human wheel?
Yes. As my coiled body spun at 70,000 revolutions per minute, my driverless car headed for the flag. 2 more seconds and it was all over.
You won the race.
No, I lost.
Why?
Well, I ran over a beer bottle and developed a slow leak. Well, so...
Now, here are Don Amici and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson.
and the honeymoon is over. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson tosses in sympathetic anguish as poor husband John, victim of marital insomnia or chatterbox's mania, engages in another losing battle during an acute attack of the dread ailment. This.
John?
Old bones.
You better not be so funny, Mr. Bickerson.
I'm not funny, Blanche. I'm sleepy. You know I got home late.
Well, it's your own fault if you're sleepy. Oh, nobody told you to putter around in the kitchen until 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard you.
I wasn't puttering. You asked me to fix the electric orange juicer, didn't you? Well, I fixed it.
How could you fix it? It needed a new motor.
I hooked it up to the vacuum cleaner.
Oranges?
It squeezes is fine. Except it sucks up the juice and spits the pits in your face. The bag in the morning.
I knew I shouldn't have let you fool with it. I'll probably have to send it to the electrician.
Well, send it. Just let me sleep.
I can just imagine the mess you left in that kitchen.
No mess.
What did you do with the orange peel?
Threw them in the garbage can.
What can?
The blue one on the sink.
That's your lunch pail.
Lunch pail? I never carried a lunch pail in my life.
Well, you're going to start now. It doesn't hurt to economize, and there's no need for you to eat in restaurants.
Well, I won't eat what's in that pail. It's full of coffee grounds and fish heads.
There's no coffee grounds. That's graham crackers and poppy seeds. And only one fish head.
What kind of a lunch is that?
I made you an upside-down mackerel cake. Clara gave me the recipe.
Well, let Clara eat it. Upside down mackerel cake.
Well, I don't know what to make for you anymore. You're getting so finicky about your food. You won't eat this and you won't eat that.
Well, I won't eat that.
You tell me what to cook for you. Go on.
I don't know. Just forget about it and put out the light.
I'm getting sick of having you push aside my dinners every night, turning up your nose at every single thing I prepare.
Oh, dear,
you refuse to eat my fried chicken. You never touch my barbecued ribs, and you won't even look at my boiled tongue.
Blanche, when your tongue is boiled, I'll be glad to look at it.
Whether you like it or not.
I know it. You wouldn't let me sleep if it killed you.
Sleep. That's all you ever think of. I don't see how you can sleep anyway. Have you forgotten what tomorrow is, John?
Tomorrow is Saturday.
I knew you'd forgotten. I knew it. An important thing like that and you forget it.
I didn't forget anything. You always accuse me of having no sentiment and being thoughtless just because I don't make a big demonstration. But for your information, I have not forgotten that tomorrow is our wedding anniversary.
No, it isn't. No, it's rent day.
Oh. And you're with a sad occasion of some kind.
I'd like to hear you say that to Gloria Goosby.
Don't start with Gloria Goosby.
You wouldn't think it was a sad occasion if you married her.
I never married her, and it's the saddest occasion of my life.
What?
I mean, I hate that woman, and you know it. Blanche, can't I spend one night without Gloria Goosby?
Is that where you've been spending your night?
What kind of a crack is that? You know where I am every minute of my life.
Where were you tonight until 2 o'clock?
You know very well where I was. I went to a bachelor dinner given for your broken-down brother who's getting married tomorrow. You told me to go.
Well, what happened at the bachelor dinner?
Nothing happened. Just a lot of men smoking and swapping stories.
What kind of stories?
Same kind of stories women tell when they get together.
I never should have let you go.
Oh, now, Blanche. Oh, making something out of nothing.
Don't act so innocent. I know all about those bachelor dinners. Don't tell me there were only bachelors there.
There were all married men and only one bachelor, your brother.
No women?
No women.
Hmm.
If you knew all about bachelor dinners, why didn't you make a party for them right in your own house?
Because I'm not entertaining this season.
You're never entertained.
Maybe I'm not. Not as much as those dancers at bachelor dinners.
Nobody danced. All we did was give a word of advice to a young man about to get married.
What was your word of advice?
Don't.
I thought as much. You hate being married, don't you?
No, I don't hate it.
You don't like it?
I wouldn't say that.
Why not, John?
I'll only be awake for the rest of the night. Please, Blanche.
You never convinced me. You just sat around tonight smoking and telling stories.
I swear that's all there was to it. Except after the speeches were over, a high silk hat was awarded to the man who could get up and say he never kissed any woman except his wife since they were married. Mel Shaw won it.
Why didn't you stand up?
Oh, Blanche, you know I look like the devil in a high hat.
It's a pretty poor excuse, John.
It's no excuse at all. It's the truth.
That's what you say.
Will you stop tormenting me with those insinuations? What's the matter with you tonight? You just want to keep me awake, is that it? Do I have to pay for every minute's pleasure I get?
Oh, hush up and go to sleep.
Yes, you go to sleep, she says. Raises my blood pressure until I'm ready to explode. She's digging at me now. She tells me, go to sleep. Yes, never sleep another wink as long as... Hello. Blanche, the phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put out that bottle of bourbon.
Oh. Who's got the guts to call a person at 4 o'clock?
Oh, ho!
Hello.
Hello, is this the party that advertises an apartment for rent in this morning's paper?
Apartment for rent?
Yes. How many rooms does it have?
940. And the rent is $8 million a week.
Sounds good. What do I have to do to get the apartment?
Drop dead!
Okay, but you'll have to give me a 2-year lease.
Never heard of such a thing. You didn't advertise this apartment, did you?
Me? Why would I advertise the apartment?
I don't know. You're always doing some insane thing.
How can you say I do insane things? Is there any married woman of our acquaintance who's more normal than I am?
Okay.
It's not okay. Did I buy a pearl-handled shopping bag like Mary Hershey? No. Did I squander money on jewel lipsticks like Wilma Trilling? No. Did I go out to Hollywood Park and lose 8 races like Gloria Goosby?
No.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I only lost
$72. Only $72? Blanche, how could you do it? You know how I slaved to earn that money. I deny myself everything. I've been sewing legs on your old garter belts and wearing them for shorts. I pulled all of my teeth out to
save on toothpaste. I don't even wear a necktie anymore. I just choke myself till my tongue hangs out and not enough of my tongue. I never spend a nickel on myself.
You bought a tie pin yesterday.
What tie pin? That was the hypodermic needle. I'm selling my blood. Now, you listen to me, Blanche. Things are going to be different around here. From now on, I'm going to spend the money and you can do the working.
What?
I'm going to squander every penny on myself. Buy all the things I've always longed for. New pants with zippers instead of paper clips. Real shaving cream instead of dust. I'm even going to buy three silver faucets for the bathtub.
Three faucets?
Hot, cold, and bourbon. Want to bet on the races? I'll give you something to bet on. You're going to buy me a racehorse.
John, you're out of your mind. I can't get you a racehorse.
Yes, you can. They sell them at the racetrack. You hear me?
Oh, right. I'm going in the morning.
You'll say it, but you won't do it. Do it now.
What?
Go on. Get up and buy me a horse.
Stop yelling at me like that.
Well, don't steam me up. You had it coming to you for a long time.
I've never been so unhappy in all my life. I wish I'd known you were such a terrible, low-down character before I married you.
Go on, you knew it, and so did everybody else.
How any man can have such a savage temper? I was raised in a refined atmosphere where everything was pleasant, no arguments. My father never has words with my mother.
Your father has words, all right, but he doesn't get a chance to use them.
That's not true. They've never quarreled since the first day they married. Believe me, John Dickinson, I'd pack up and go home to my mother if it wasn't for one thing.
What's that?
My mother packed up and went home to her mother.
Now, do you think I enjoy sitting up all night fighting like this? Have you ever asked yourself the reason why we argue so much?
I can't understand it.
Well, just think for one minute. Why is it that an easy-going fella, a guy who would run a mile to avoid a fight, why is it that I turn into a screaming, raving demon every night of my life?
You've got me, John.
That's the reason.
Well, that puts the lid on the 35th Broadway by News Series for Old Gold Cigarettes, written and directed by Phil Rapp. We hope you'll be on hand next Friday night with Frank Morgan, Francis Langford, and Carmen Dragon in the audience. Economy saying good night and good smoking for Old Gold.
I would like to thank Alex, Jan, and Isabella, and Lady Kate for their kind notes wishing me a quick recovery. I also have a question in an email from a listener named Buddy. He writes, "Hey Ron, I'm a young adult and I love this podcast. I listen to it almost every day before I sleep. Before I found it, I had been looking for something that is both calming and funny. This is exactly it. It was definitely a really amazing idea from you. Thank you. I listened to your update and I wish you a very, very speedy recovery. I would love more episodes. I have one question. Is there any connection between your podcast and Adam Graham's? Your voices sound surprisingly very similar. Best wishes, Buddy." Well, thanks for your email, Buddy, and thanks for the well wishes, and thanks for being a fan of the show. There is no formal connection between this podcast and Adam Graham's podcast, which is named Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. But there is an informal connection in that his podcast started, I think, 3 to 5 years before mine did, and his was the inspiration for my podcast. I'm doing this podcast because I was a big fan and listener of Adam Graham and Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, and I thought, hey, that would be really fun to do an old time radio comedy podcast. And I sent Adam an email, and he said, hey, I have no plans to do it, so go for it. And I did. And so there is simply the fact that Adam Graham was the inspiration for this podcast, and I'm glad he was. And I do recommend, highly recommend, that you search out and listen to Adam Graham's podcast, Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, if you are a fan of old time radio. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons, and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. Well, actually, it's not The Pepsodent Show anymore, is it? I got used to saying that. Now it's The Swan Show, starring Bob Hope. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and support our show by clicking on the Become a Patron button or the Donate button. Either way, your support is very much needed and appreciated. Until next time, in the words of Winston Churchill, the farther backward you can look, the farther forward you will see.